Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Collins Foods Limited First Half FY18 Results Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Graham Maxwell, Managing Director and CEO. Please go ahead, Mr. Maxwell.
Thanks, Michael, and morning, guys. With me on the call, I have Nigel Williams, our CFO, and Drew O'Malley, our recently appointed Chief Operating Officer for Australia. I'm very pleased to be able to take you through the results for Collins Foods Limited for the half year, which was a 24-week period to the 15th of October 2017. The half year produced solid revenue and earnings growth. Revenue was up 14% from 282.5 million to 322.1 million. The increase in revenue was driven by positive comp sales growth as well as the growth in our KFC network. EBITDA was up 5.7% on an underlying basis from 38.6 million to 40.8 million, reflecting good flow through of the additional revenue and good management of cost lines. Underlying NPAT was 17.4 million, up 3.7% on underlying prior half year. Net operating cash flow was 27.2 million, up 900,000 on prior half due to higher EBITDA and some working capital benefit from the acquisitions completed during the half. Net debt increased 26.4 million to 151 million due to the completion of the Netherlands acquisition and part of the Australian acquisition. The net leverage ratio was 1.55. Underlying basic earnings per share was 0.154, down from 0.176 per share at the prior half year. This reduction is due to the recent acquisitions not yet being fully reflected in the earnings. Fully franked interim dividend of 0.08 per share will be paid. While this is the same as the dividend payout as half year 2017, as per the earlier comment, it is reflective of the recent acquisitions not yet being fully reflected in the earnings. There were a number of significant items that were incurred during the half. These include acquisition costs of approximately 2 million when aggregated and are principally related to the completion and integration of the Netherlands acquisition and the partial completion of the Australian acquisition. The majority of the costs incurred for the partial completion of the Australian acquisition being stamp duty. Other items affecting NPAT included an 800,000 provision for costs to exit Snagstand and two non-cash write-offs to do with previously incurred refinancing fees and Snagstand deferred tax assets. The overall NPAT significant items total was approximately 4.7 million. I'd now like to take you through the operational highlights of the brands on slide three. Our core KFC business had a solid half year. In Australia, total revenue growth was up 8.5%, reflecting in part the extra sales from 13 recently acquired stores in Albury Wodonga and the opening of a further new restaurant. Same-store sales across KFC Australia was 1.2%, this number being somewhat dampened by negative comps in Western Australia. EBITDA margins were relatively flat at 16.8% for the half. On the 19th of October 2017, we announced the completion of the acquisition of five KFC restaurants located in Western Australia. This was part of the wider Australian acquisition of 28 restaurants announced back in June. The majority of the remaining restaurants from the acquisition are expected to complete prior to the end of the calendar year. In Germany, we have initiated a business transformation program at grassroots level to strengthen and grow the business. Same-store sales growth for the half-year period was 0.4%. On the 31st of August 2017, we announced the completion of the acquisition of 16 KFC restaurants located in the Netherlands. These restaurants are being integrated into the business and are performing according to expectations. We are really excited with the opening of our first Taco Bell restaurant on the 4th of November 2017 in Annerley, Brisbane. Early trading has been well ahead of expectation, and the customer engagement with the brand has been excellent. A second restaurant is planned to open in the first half of 2018. Sizzler Australia delivered positive EBITDA margin percentage growth despite a small decline in same-store sales. We closed a further two restaurants during the half. The restaurant count as of today is 14. Sizzler Asia's sales and earnings continue to grow. Our franchise partners opened three net new restaurants during the half year. A further two restaurants are expected to open in the second half. Turning to Snag Stand, further to the announcement at the end of our financial year 17, we have conducted a strategic review on Snag Stand and concluded that while there is strong appreciation for the products, the viability of the business is no longer sustainable. As a result of this, we will be exiting the business. This process is already underway and is expected to be completed prior to the end of FY18, which is at the end of April next year. We have provided for exit costs to the value of $1.2 million pre-tax at the half year. And I'll now hand you over to Drew to take you through the KFC Australia business performance in more detail.
Thanks, Graham. Good morning, everybody. Starting on page 5, KFC Australia had a solid half year, with revenues and profits both up on the prior half year. Total revenue was up 8.5% to $270.8 million. Same-store sales growth for the half year was 1.2%. While Queensland had solid same-store sales growth of 2.4%, the overall same-store sales growth was dampened somewhat by Western Australia, which recorded a decline of 3.9%. Sales in the weeks since the half have continued to comp at 1.2%, with a similar variance between the two key states. The addition of the 13 restaurants in New South Wales, Victoria, which were acquired last July, generated $8.3 million of extra sales during the half year. The five restaurants acquired in WA only completed 6 days before the half year, so their contribution was not significant in the overall sales growth for the half year. KFC Australia EBITDA grew by 7.6% from $42.3 to $45.5 million, with an overall EBITDA margin of 16.8%, slightly down from 16.9% in the prior half year. This was a good outcome given the sales deleverage pressure in Western Australia. Since the year end, the KFC estate has increased by a total of 5 net new restaurants, consisting of 5 acquired, 1 new restaurant build, and 1 closure, while 19 restaurants underwent a major remodel. The total KFC restaurant count now stands at exactly 200. Moving on to slide 6, page 6. The acquisition of 28 KFC restaurants in Australia announced on 26th of June is progressing well. Completion has occurred on 10 restaurants as of today, these being a combination of 4 restaurants in Western Australia completed on October 9th, 5 restaurants in South Australia completed on the 23rd of October, and a further new build restaurant in Western Australia which completed on November 16th. Of the remaining restaurants, the 14 in Tasmania are expected to complete next week, while the remaining 3 in South Australia and 1 in Western Australia will follow shortly afterwards. This acquired bundle achieved, on average, same-store sales growth greater than 5% during the first half, and that's based on Yum data and methodology. Once this overall transaction completes, Collins will have 225 restaurants in Australia. Moving on to the next page, the KFC business continues to generate new product ideas and innovate around its core range. Standout products launched during the half were the Zinger Mozzarella Burger and Gravy Mashies. Great innovative products like these continue to keep the brand fresh and top of mind for customers. In addition, we continue to provide great value offers such as the $10 popcorn chicken bucket that continue to drive our transaction growth. Moving on to the next slide. Ultimately, the core of our success will depend on a foundation of operational excellence. We've completed quite a few acquisitions recently, and it's imperative that we are operating all of them at a consistently high level. That's why our key operational thrust over the next 12 months will be systematization, ensuring alignment around high-quality operational systems. Labor rostering, speed of service, and maintenance and utility costs are three areas of particular focus in the early stages. One of my recent roles pre-Collins was as Chief Digital Officer, so I'm eager to support innovation in the digital space here in KFC Australia. Our mobile app for ordering and pickup has shown steady progress and now represents over 13,000 transactions a week for us, but there's a lot more to be done in the digital space. We will be partnering closely with Yum to innovate and test new products in the KFC digital ecosystem. Delivery is one of those areas of particular interest which stands to benefit from digital excellence. We are still in early days, but the results of our tests with Foodora are promising. This is a segment which is growing at 33% in the market, and we are eager to push forward. KFC is an excellent product for delivery, so we want to accelerate our efforts here, examining various models, including own delivery and partnering with aggregators. Moving on to page 9, our remodel and new restaurant program continues to drive growth. A total of 3 new restaurants were built and 14 remodels completed with a capital spend of approximately $6.8 million. Of the 3 new restaurants, 1 was open before the half year, with 2 having opened since then. 2 were built in Queensland and 1 in Western Australia. These new restaurants are all tracking positively to our internal capital return hurdles. We expect to build and open a further 3 stores before the end of the full year. And with that, I will hand it back over to Graham.
Thanks, Drew. I'll now turn to our European KFC business on slide 10. We have a total of 31 KFC restaurants in Europe at the half year. Of these, 15 are in Germany, with 16 in the Netherlands. The Netherlands restaurants crossed into Collins' possession on the 31st of August, 2017. During the half, we built and opened 2 restaurants in Germany in addition to Sichwef that opened on the 25th of April this year. We will open a further 2 restaurants in Netherlands before the end of this calendar year. Utrecht Haren will actually open today, European time, and Rijswijk will open within a couple of weeks. In addition, we are on target to open another 3 to 4 in Germany and 3 to 4 in Netherlands during the 2018 calendar year. On slide 11, in order to present the European business in a more complete way, given the Netherlands business only traded for 6 weeks during the half, we have set out a pro forma P&L for the half year. This is intended to show what the half year would have looked like had we owned all of the Netherlands restaurants during the first half. The pro forma P&L for the half year shows revenue of $50.3 million Australian dollars with an EBITDA margin of 9.6%. Same-store sales growth during the first half was 1.8%, with Germany at 0.4% same-store sales and the Netherlands at 2.5% same-store sales. Also, just to clarify, the European P&L includes all of the operational and corporate support costs for the European market, and these are reflected in the P&L, whereas in Australia we separate out corporate overheads into the shared services segment, note in the accounts. Overall, the Netherlands business is performing to expectations. Comparison on the same 6 months period to the prior year, both sales and EBITDA are up. However, the European performance has been impacted somewhat by the softness in Germany. Shortly after Mark van der Loo, our European CEO, joined the company at the end of March this year, he initiated a comprehensive business transformation program to address a series of opportunities in Germany. The program has 3 key elements. Firstly, the development and implementation of compelling product value propositions within the menu mix to drive sustainable transaction growth. While still in the early stages of development, we are starting to see some early signs of positive results in this area. Secondly, the renewal and training slash retraining of a number of management and staff across the restaurants to ensure that we have the right capabilities and customer service mentality to create strong restaurant teams. And thirdly, the implementation of a series of operational tools to significantly improve the restaurant performance and consequently the customer experience. The transformation program is well underway, and we are encouraged by the progress to date. The European results for the half show revenue of $25.7 million and an underlying EBITDA of $400,000. The Netherlands acquisition completed on the 31st of August, and as such, only 6 weeks of trading are included in this P&L. Overall same-store sales for the period was a negative 0.2, and this is largely due to Netherlands having a soft month in September, and this was during the 6 weeks of trade in the half. The underlying margin, including operational and corporate overheads for the KFC European restaurant in the half, were 1.6%. While the Netherlands margins were in line with expectations, the German business was heavily impacted principally by three factors. Firstly, as a result of the transformation program highlighted earlier, a significant amount of renewal of management and staff, as well as training and retraining, has been needed to reset the bar of operational performance in our restaurants. Secondly, the operational costs associated with opening three new restaurants in the half. Given the low base of 12 restaurants, there's been a fairly costly exercise to recruit and train new management and team members. This has been exacerbated somewhat by the renewal and training program taking place within the existing restaurants. Furthermore, whereas in Australia, restaurants tend to generate reasonable EBITDA after about 3 months, in Germany, given the slower ramp-up in sales, the restaurants tend to take closer to 9 to 12 months to generate positive returns. Thirdly, the protracted timeframe for the completion of the Netherlands acquisition meant we were carrying additional overhead for longer than anticipated. These factors are seen as either one-off costs, costs relating to improvement, or costs relating to new restaurant openings, and as such, we anticipate the core EBITDA margins in Germany to return to normal in due course. The key focus for Germany in the near and medium term is a continuation of the transformation program covered off earlier. In the Netherlands, where the brand and our business is in a good position, the priority is to fully integrate the restaurants into Collins while building on the strong foundations. And finally, for Europe, a comment on our future development. As previously mentioned, we have built three new KFC restaurants in Germany and undertaken one major remodel. CapEx for the first half has been around $4.5 million. During the second half, we expect to build a further two, maybe three additional restaurants in Germany and three in the Netherlands, of which two referred to earlier are expected to open before the end of this calendar year. We will also undertake a number of remodels. The total CapEx for the year is expected to be circa $18 million. Moving our attention to Taco Bell on slide 15. I'm really excited about this brand and the potential opportunity in Australia. Unlike the previous time Taco Bell entered into the Australian market, I believe the timing now is right. Over the past 10 years or so, there has been a much broader acceptance of Mexican cuisine within Australia. And while there are other chains that are successful in the fast casual space, we believe that by firmly positioning Taco Bell within the QSR space, we have created a significant point of difference. Great tasting product, a cool design, and a great place to hang out, coupled with drive-through convenience and QSR pricing, sets us apart. We opened our first store at Annerley near Brisbane on the 14th of November. Since opening, the store has traded well above expectations. And you can see from the photos on the page that we had a great opening day with over 200 people lined down the road on the first morning. Customer engagement of the brand has been very strong. There were over 20,000 Facebook fans before the doors opened, and this has moved to above 30,000 in the last couple of weeks. Brand is strongly associated with the younger generation and plays to a hip culture. The Californian elements of the brand aligns extremely well with the Australian culture. The second restaurant is in the development process and is expected to open the first half of next year, with a further restaurant to follow shortly after this. We will review and evaluate the brand's acceptance along with its financial performance during 2018 before deciding on the next steps. Moving to Sizzler. Sizzler revenues are down 23% from 31.2 million to 24.0 million at the half year. This is driven by the closure of 7 restaurants since this time last year. The same store sales growth for the half was marginally negative at minus 1.3%, while EBITDA margin growth was marginally positive. Overall, EBITDA was 2.3 million with the margin at 9.6%. The restaurant count is currently at 14. The restaurants will continue to be assessed on an ongoing basis in relation to the individual performance, expiry of the lease, and local circumstances. Sinsu Asia continues to expand its footprint, the total of 71 restaurants at the half year. This reflects a net opening of 3 restaurants during the half year. Royalty revenues for the half were down 3% due to softer than expected sales in China and the extended impact of the passing of the King in Thailand and the subsequent mourning period. 3 new restaurants are planned to open the second half. I'll now hand you across to Nigel to take you through the financials.
Thanks, Graham. I'm pleased to report on continued growth in net operating cash flow. Net operating cash flow before interest and tax was up to 40 million from 38.3 million prior half year, reflecting the slight EBITDA improvement referred to earlier and a favourable working capital movement due to the acquisition of the stores in the Netherlands. The net cash flow from investing was 132.7 million, comprising 115.2 million for acquisitions, 21 million for the purchase of 5 KFC stores in WA and the deposit on the remaining Australian stores yet to complete at the half, and 94.2 for the purchase of 16 KFC stores in the Netherlands, and additionally 17.1 million of CapEx. The 17.1 million of CapEx cash spend was made up of the following. New store and remodel CapEx in KFC was circa 11.8 million, approximately 6.8 million in Australia and 5 million in Europe. Group CapEx was $2.8 million. This CapEx number includes approximately $2.5 million of cash spent on capital accounted for and booked in FY17. Net cash flow from financing was $59.3 million. This included $44.2 million relating to the capital raising to partially fund the Australian acquisition, $9.6 million in dividends paid, and $24.7 million relating to net extra facilities drawn. Excluding the investment and financing activities associated with the Netherlands and Australian acquisitions, the cash flow for FY17 was for the half was 0.5 million. On the next slide, there's comments on net debt, which was up to 151.0 million from 133.1 million at year end, driven by the Netherlands and Australian acquisitions. Net leverage ratio stood at 1.55. However, following the completion of the Australian acquisition, net debt will rise to approximately 240 million, with a net leverage ratio on a pro forma basis expected to be around 2.1 at the end of FY18. Our covenant, a maximum covenant for this metric, is 2.75, and the bank facility is approximately 360 million Australian dollars. So we continue to operate well within our covenant and facility headroom. Looking at the balance sheet, the cash balance is down to 60.6 million following the settlement of the acquisitions completed during the half year. Property, plant and equipment is up 26.4 million, reflecting the acquired restaurants' assets and continued investment in new and remodeled stores, partially offset by depreciation. Total non-current assets are also up significantly due to the increase in goodwill as a result of the acquisitions. And gross debt increased to 210 million in order to fund the acquisitions. Now back to Graham for a word on the priorities for the second half.
Thanks, Nigel. The plan for our core KC business in Australia is to remain focused on transaction driving same-store sales growth, particularly in Western Australia. We will also stay disciplined on operational performance and margin management, looking to position delivery for further rollout and build another 3 stores. In addition, we will embed the newly acquired KC restaurants in Western Australia, South Australia and Tasmania. Our focus for the KFC European business will be to execute the transformation program in Germany and build upon the solid foundations in the Netherlands. We will continue building a strong and efficient back office function and add a further 2 to 3 restaurants in Germany and a further 2 to 3 restaurants in the Netherlands. We will build another 2 Taco Bell restaurants and work on establishing the brand. I'd now like to open the call questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star, then two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Tim Plum from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just two initial questions for me, if possible, please. Firstly, Graham, are you able to talk a little bit about the chicken pricing renegotiations? I suspect they should have largely been completed by now. What should we be expecting in terms of pricing increases from January next year?
Hey, Tim, how are you going? So certainly from a chicken perspective, the negotiations have been completed. We have three poultry suppliers in the mix, and we have agreements between 1 and 2 years, depending on the individual poultry supplier. Overall, our chicken pricing will either be flat or marginally down over those periods.
Great, thanks. And just secondly, in terms of the European operations, margins of 9.6% if they were there for the full 6 months, underlying of 1.6 for the actual. How should we be thinking about that cost base going into the second half of 18? Will that continue to be elevated due to higher training costs? And how should we think about kind of the margin opportunity going on beyond FY18?
Yeah, no, sure. So in terms of the two businesses, in a broad sense, the Dutch business, as we understood it when we acquired it back earlier this year, the numbers that we have at this point in time reflect we've got what we acquired. We have seen some sales growth, so there's a 2.5% same-store sales growth over the period of the 6 months. And we have seen sort of margins hold at what we expected. So we don't see anything different transpiring within the Netherlands. Within Germany, as we mentioned on the call and in previous conversations with you guys, we know that we have some work to do in Germany. When Mark came on board earlier this year, he actually initiated, as I discussed, a series of initiatives, to work on the business both at a top line and at a bottom line. In terms of the renewal, so changing out a number of the management and staff and replacing them with guards that better suited what we wanted, and the subsequent retraining of them, I would say the majority of that has sort of flowed through the system. And now it's just working in terms of getting them up to speed. I think in terms of some of the various operational tools, we will continue to see some of that flow through still. From an overhead perspective, we expect the overheads to come back to normal. It was just in terms of we had to carry, obviously Mark and the CFO, a number of the Dutch employees across a longer than expected period. We had originally anticipated completion of the Netherlands business at the end of June. As we explained to you guys before, it's a fairly onerous process, not of assigning leases, but of actually getting food permit licenses. And it was just a process that we had to sort of work through, and that delayed it a couple of months. So we incurred those additional overheads off the back of that. So that shouldn't come into play during the back end of the year. And in fact, some of the initial setup costs that we had with various outsourced providers will be taken care of in the first half. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, great. So, putting all of that together, what sort of uplift from that 9.6% could we realistically expect in the second half?
Yeah, look, Tim, we don't tend to sort of give outlooks in terms of that. Really not in a position to sort of comment on that one any further.
Okay, not a problem. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from James Ferrier from Wilson's Advisory. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, Graham and Nigel. And Drew, welcome on board. First question, Graham, you just touched on it a moment ago around that cost that Collins Foods was carrying in Europe for a couple of months there with the delayed settlement. Could you quantify what you had to carry for that couple of months?
Yeah, no worries. So James, in terms of the G&A, we were probably around €500,000 in carrying costs over and above what would have transpired if it was just Germany on its own.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And then the Netherlands, 2.5% same-store sales growth. I think at the time of the acquisition you talked about the business tracking along at about 4%. Is the delta just that softer September month that you mentioned, or is there anything else we should be aware of?
Yeah, look, it's probably on that that September. And what happened in the September month is prior year they had rolled out a paper coupon. So it was one of those letterbox drops to all the households. This year the couponing was a digital one. So you received it digitally and had to use your phone to redeem it. And it obviously didn't have the same net effect as they had anticipated. So they've backed off that. But outside of September, we're not concerned with anything that's in fact, what they're doing around value and the various value propositions that they have in play, we're really encouraged by.
Yep. And with Germany, while we're still in Europe, the changes you're making to the business, obviously about positioning it for a better financial performance in the future, is it self-funding in the sense that Germany has a positive EBITDA contribution at the store level, or the reinvestment that you're undertaking, is that necessitating a negative EBITDA contribution?
On the base stores, we still got a positive EBITDA through the restaurants. The nature of our business and probably all of QSR and some of the other food businesses, it's all predicated on really a strong operational team, both management and staff. And until you can address that and get the right team with the right mentality and focus in place, you tend to deal with the symptoms rather than the root cause. So we've really gone down and sort of worked on the fundamentals and the basics, and now we're sort of building it back up. I think the bulk of that has sort of moved through the system. And though we did drop off in terms of obviously some retraining costs and probably a little bit of margin unwinding just because of the focus, for us to be able to pull that back and get back to where it was before, we would hopefully see over the upcoming months.
Okay, that makes sense. Then back in Australia, the KFC result in Australia, certainly relative to some other KFC networks where we've seen stronger same-store sales growth, but actually quite a bit of margin impact from sales mix. It didn't seem that was the case with Collins Foods. Can you give a bit of detail behind that?
Yeah, sure. Look, I mean, I'm not sure the reference point. I've no specific understanding of that. However, I mean, as you know, for the last number of years, we've been on this focus around disciplined cost management and sort of maintaining our margins and actually growing our margins where we can. We have said historically that from a Queensland perspective, given the current environment with input costs and pricing, we're probably at optimal level. We've said that Western Australia, is got opportunities still to grow. We've probably seen that one come under a little bit of pressure through the sales deleverage. However, when sales sort of flow back, the tightness in the P&L will deliver results in that front. You heard Drew earlier on talk about the systemization process. So not content as to where we stand, and with a bigger portfolio, we'll put a lot more rigor and structure around making sure that we can continue to sort of manage our margins where we need to.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And with the same-store sales growth, WA, as you've alluded to, still negative, and its comps will get easier to cycle in the second half. But with Queensland, the same-store sales growth, did that deteriorate through the half, or was it purely WA that drove the result?
Yeah, look in Queensland, it probably got slightly stronger through the half. And certainly, I think in a broader economic sense, we've seen the Queensland economy, continue to respond. Not stellar, but respond to, from a growth perspective. Western Australia, in all the research we've done through various surveys and the like, we believe that from a market share perspective, that we're sort of still holding our own. We're not losing market share. There are a few others that are sort of, ins and outs on the market share, but from our perspective, we are holding the market share. The softness, I think, in Western Australia, in general, from an economic perspective, has continued probably a little bit longer than certainly I had anticipated. But from our perspective, what we've been doing across there and having a slightly different approach to Western Australia than to the East, we certainly believe we're doing everything we can, to mitigate the tougher economic conditions, but also position us for a stronger surge when the market does turn.
Yeah, okay. And final question from me, Graham, with Taco Bell, do you have a formal development agreement in place with Yum?
No, we don't. I mean, at this point in time, because Taco Bell has been in the country before, we believe only once. I know the media talks about twice before. Even the Taco Bells only know of once. We wanted to make sure that the proposition and the brand resonated before we committed to anything in terms of expansion or development. As I indicated on the through the presentation, that we really have positioned it into the QSR space. So it's all about drive-through, it's all about pricing, but along with the great products and their positioning, which really does separate it from the fast casual guys that sit the GYGs and the Mad Mixes and the like. But it is really important for us to understand the overall acceptance of the brand. And the economics before we push ahead with any further development or any commitment to further development other than the three stores we indicated. And that will take place during the course of next year. We'll sort of work through that.
Yep. Okay. Makes sense. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.